InshaAllah, short lesson of hadith will take place. For those requests to participate, Muhtasar Dars Hadith Hoga, Sahad Sharif Tharma, InshaAllah, Fayda Hoga. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد إن شاء الله today we'll just start a new chapter. It's a brief chapter, so possibly might be able to move on to the next one. The next chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, as his custom, so far, alhamdulillah, in I don't know how many years, 7 years, plus probably, we've covered 568 hadith. Now, I know some scholars, they complete this book in like 2 years, 3 years, even after delivering, by delivering once a week durus and lessons. But generally, I like to read through each hadith and try and explain the subtle points of each hadith. And that's why it's taking us this time. Anyway, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, generally when he starts a chapter, then he will link it with other chapters. So he won't just put in different chapters of hadith and self-rectification and spiritual fulfillment. He won't put different random chapters. Rather, it's in order. Like when he's talking about wealth, there are so many chapters that come in terms of wealth. Not being stingy, he's got a chapter. Being generous, he's got a chapter. Giving preference to others over yourself, he's got a chapter. And they come one after the other. So it all links in. So it's like a beautiful picture that he's painting. So if you want to be a pious person, it's like step by step. As opposed to opening a book where you've got the chapter of fearing Allah Ta'ala. And then straight after that, you've got a chapter of being generosity. Now, fearing Allah Ta'ala and being generosity, although there is a link, but they're quite different topics, different themes. So Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings it like together. So many themes, so many topics which are of the same kind of theme, he brings them together, which makes it more beneficial. When we study Riyadhus Salihin, it makes it more beneficial. So mashallah, the Arab jamaats, those who go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they sit with this kitab all day long, subhanallah, and they'll just be reading it. And they'll be reading through chapter after chapter after chapter, and it all links in so beautifully. And the way they read it is very different. They'll just pick someone who's got a very nice tune, and he'll sit there doing tilawat of it like the Qur'an. And he'll just read through it. بَابُ التَّنَافُسِ فِي أُمُورِ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْإِسْتِكْثَارِ مِمَّا يُتَبَرَّكُ بِهِ. And he'll just read through it. If there's a hard word that he feels someone might not understand, he'll see if is there anything in the footnotes explaining that hard word. He'll just say, this word means this, and then he'll carry on. It's very beneficial. And he'll read each hadith three times. Next hadith three times. Next hadith three times. And he'll carry on going. SubhanAllah, very, very beneficial kitab. Everybody should try and get the translation of it. And everybody should try and, especially, someone asked me one time, should I get the translation of this kitab? I said, get it, but also participate in the dars as well. Because there are many ahadith that if you just read from the translation, you wouldn't understand what he was saying. You wouldn't understand the deeper meaning of it. You wouldn't understand the context or how to apply it. So anyway, this next chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought here, chapter 63, بَابُ التَّنَافُسِ فِي أُمُورِ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْإِسْتِكْثَارِ مِمَّا يُتَبَرَّكُ بِهِ. The chapter which discusses tanafus, competing with one another in terms of, in matters of the hereafter, in righteous deeds, in good deeds, always being in competition. وَالْإِسْتِكْثَارُ مِمَّا يُتَبَرَّكُ بِهِ. And trying to increase in those things through which you can gain blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically, trying to increase as many avenues as you can to gain Allah Ta'ala's barakah, blessings, goodness. Basically, always being, you know, conscious of it. Like a businessman, I can make profit here, I can make profit here. If I start this side business, this side hustle, I can get this much money, this much money, this much money. So as a Muslim, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is saying, we should always be in this competition mindset. He's doing more than me, I need to do better than him. So that's why this is a kind of a contrast between the last chapter and this chapter. Last chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brought a chapter giving preference to others. So if you're giving preference to others, it means you take a backseat and say, you go ahead. But now he's brought the next chapter, that giving preference to others in terms of dunya. In terms of deen, you don't give preference to others. In terms of deen, you're always competing with others. You're trying to overtake others. So they talk about the first half. You know, when I come and stand, and then the elderly uncle or someone, out of respect, says, Mutsabaq, you go forward. I'm thinking, you came forward, you got the first spot on the first row. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that if you knew the value of standing in the first row, then you would have drawn lots. That, you know, you went last time, I have to go this time. And you can't go on the first row again, I have to go before you. You would have competed with one another. That this standing on the first row carries so much reward. At the same time, the fuqaha mentioned, out of respect to someone, you can tell them to come forward, you can swap places with them, but we shouldn't always do it. And there's no need. And I feel a bit ashamed, mashallah, an elderly person come, you know, and they've stood on the first row, and then they're telling me to swap places with them. You should stand, get the reward, by all means. So in terms of deen, there is no competition. No. And this is what's going to be explained in this hadith, in this chapter. قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون سورة المطففين. سورة المطففين, الله سبحانه وتعالى starts off by talking about the mutaffifin, those who cheat when it comes to deceive others when it comes to buying and selling. ويل للمطففين, straight away like a bomb. Anyone who, when it comes to selling goods to others, hides things, hides the faults, hides the defects, destruction be upon them. It's like such a severe thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Straight away the surah starts, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. That when it comes to their job, I've gone to the marketplace, I want to buy, now I want that guy to give me exactly, you know, it has to be the way the item was described. I deserve it. Why are you cheating? Why are you deceiving? So I understand it when I'm on the receiving end. That's what Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. Those people, when it comes to them taking their due from those who they are taking it from, they want it in full. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. When it comes on the other hand, and that they have to sell to someone, they have to, you know, weigh and measure something and give it to someone, then they always try and decrease it so they can make more money. So this is the mentality, and this, unfortunately, this is the mentality in all of us. Allah Ta'ala forgive, not generalizing, but in the Muslims, this is so common spread. I'm going to buy a car. My dear brother Nurullah is here. So he told me there's a fault in your car. So I said to him, as soon as I know there's a fault now, if it comes to selling it, I can't hide the fault. I know there's a fault now, if it comes to selling it, I can't hide the fault. See? Inshallah, there's no fault in my car. Do dua for my car, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala, there's no fault in it. But anyway, the point is this, Jay, that when it comes to me buying a car, I want it without any issues, without any problems. I want it perfect. You have to, you know, as described, it has to be perfect. When it comes to me selling, you don't need to talk about this one. Don't need to talk about this one. Let's hide this one. Let's hide that point. So this is our mentality. So Allah Ta'ala talking about this category of people says, وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Destruction be upon this category of people. You have to be very, very careful. Anyway, in this surah, Allah Ta'ala talks about the people of Jahannam. And then Allah Ta'ala talks about the people of Jannah. Ayat Allah. Allah Ta'ala talks about the people of Jannah. And he mentions, لا إله إلا الله. إن الأبرار لفي نعيم على الأرائك ينظرون تعرف في وجوههم نظرة النعيم يسقون من رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون. This is the only part of the surah Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought. وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون. Allah Ta'ala first talks about the people of Jahannam. And subhanAllah, it's so scary. You know, we should all study it and read it. But when Allah Ta'ala talks about the people of Jannah, He says, indeed, the pious people will be in so many blessings. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ, they'll be sitting, reclining on these beautiful couches, cushions, looking at each other. تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِ. You look at their face and you will see the effect of happiness. You know, when someone's been given so much blessings, even in dunya, someone has so much comfort, you can see from their face, mashallah, they're just in aram and comfort and happiness. That's what you will see when you look at the people of Jannah. يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. They'll be drinking these beautiful, you know, sealed nectar, these wine vessels which will be sealed. Nobody's touched it before. Extremely unique. خِتَامُهُ مِسْكٍ. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. For this, meaning for this beautiful Jannah, for this beautiful end result, should those who compete, compete. Those who want to have a competition, this is what they should compete in regards to. Not for dunya. Dunya has no value in competing for it. It's not worth it. Even if you get it, even if you compete with him, I need to have a better car than him. I've got the better car, I'm not going to be satisfied. How long for? Then I'm going to want the better car than the other person who has a better car than me. Better house than this person, then better house than that person, then better house than that person. By that time I'm old, I've got white hair, and then it's time for me to go. Compete for the akhirah. So this is what Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought. And then he brings the hadith, very beautiful hadith. وعن سهل بن سعد رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتي بشراب فشرب منه. I do apologize, it's Sabr al-Nur Allah. Sometimes you have to stop, and I just remember something which is relevant. So I mention as an example. So mashallah, all dear people to myself, mashallah. I think last week I put half a stop on the spot. And I said something incident. Khair, inshallah. It makes it more practical, isn't it? It makes the example more practical, more applicable. وعن سهل بن سعد رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتي بشراب فشرب منه وعن يمينه غلام وعن يساره الأشياخ فقال للغلام أتأذن لي أن أعطي هؤلاء فقال الغلام لا والله يا رسول الله لا أوثر بنصيبي منك أحدا فتله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في يده متفق عليه. Sayyidina Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought something to drink. فَشَرِبَ مِنْهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank from it. And then وَعَنْ يَمِينِهِ غُلَامٌ. On his right side there was a child. وَعَنْ يَسَارِهِ الْأَشْيَاخُ. On his left side there were some elderly people. فَقَالَ لِلْغُلَامُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked to his right side. He asked the child, أَتَأْذَنُ لِي أَنْ أُعْطِيَ هَؤُلَاء. Will you give me permission to give to these people first before I give to you? So the first important lesson, that the right side, al-ayman fal-ayman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave so much importance to the right side over his own mansha, over his own desire. His desire was to give to the elders first. And we understand that because he's asking this boy, can I give to the elders first? So we see his desire was to give preference to somebody else, but the importance of starting from the right was so, you know, paramount to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's asking the person who's on the right, I know, you have greater haqq, you have greater right, that's why you're on the right side. And why is this right side so important? The Rasul scholars have mentioned so many different causes. For example, in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينَ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينَ. The people of the right, who are the people of the right? You know, and then Allah Ta'ala talks about the people of Jannah, the people of right, Allah Ta'ala calls them. Those people who are successful, Allah Ta'ala will give them their book of deeds in their right hand. All of these things. So the right side is given significance. Now even when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perform his salah, after performing his fard salah, he would move to the left side and he would perform his sunnah. So that the right side has been reserved for his fard salah and the left side for his sunnahs. So the most superior salah has been performed towards his right, and then his sunnahs would be performed towards his left. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fikr and concern would always be, meaning this great importance to right side. Everything, wearing clothes, starting from the right. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُحِبُّ التَّيَامُنَ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. أُمُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَيِّدَةَ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا نَرِيدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ would love starting from the right in everything. حَتَّى فِي تَنَعُّلِهِ. Even when it came to combing his hair, he'd comb the right side, then the left side. وَتَرَجُّلِهِ. Wearing his shoes, he would wear the right shoe first, and then the left shoe. So we need to draw lessons from this. We need to give importance to this. Putting on my jubba, right side, left side. Putting on my coat, right side, left side. Putting on my shoes, right side, left side. Similarly, entering the house, right foot. Leaving, left foot. We need to notice these things in children. No. Right foot, left foot. Sometimes my wife says, I'm getting late for school, just put it on. No. They still need to put it on right. And with children, and with us, it's a good example. You know, maybe when we were children, nobody told us. But with children, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only do it with children, he did it with adults. What did he do? He told them, repeat your action. It's called duhrao. agar ye amal galat sadir hogi to isko dohrao taaki abhi sabak yaad ho jaye. Someone came and didn't say assalamu alaikum. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go outside, say assalamu alaikum, come back inside. To a grown adult, so this lesson stays in your mind. Next time when you do the action, you do it right. So to children, oh, next time make sure you start with the right. No, take your shoes back off, put them on again, start with the right foot. Obviously gently and with love, so that the lesson stays inside the mind of the person that you are trying to educate. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved the right side so much, gave so much importance to the right side. So he asked the child, can I start with these people? Again, showing the importance of giving respect to one's elders. For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these people were not older than himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they were older than the boy. So when it comes to dealing with a party, a group of people, we should give more importance to the elderly ones over the youngsters. When a group of people came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one sahabi, there were a few brothers, and the youngest brother, he was the most eloquent and he could talk nicely. So he wanted to start talking straight away. And his brothers would have let him talk. And sometimes you get amongst the brothers, the younger one's more sharp and more, he's more articulate. So he's about to start talking. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Kabbir, let the older brother speak. Maybe he's slower in speech, maybe he can't articulate as nice as you, but he has greater right. He's your older brother. For this important lesson. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks, can I give the milk to this person or whatever was drink to these people? فَقَالَ الْغُلَامِ The boy said, لَا وَاللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَا أُوثِرُ بِنَصِيبِ مِنْكَ أَحَدًا No, I swear by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will never let anybody, I will never give preference to anyone else when it comes to the blessings I can take from you. I will never give preference to anybody else. What did he mean? Ya Rasulullah, you just drank from that. If you give it to somebody else, they're going to drink from there. I won't remember where you drank from. You just drank from it. I want to take it first so I can drink from the exact same spot that you drank from. So I swear by Allah, I will never give preference to this barakah I can get from you to anybody else. So here we see, in terms of this child even understood the mansha and desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam really wants to give it to these people. But he also gives importance to the right, that's why he's asking me. But he said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than my own parents. I love you more than everybody. But this is deen, this is my hereafter, this is the blessing. I'm not going to sacrifice that. I'm not going to give preference to anybody. And then he took it, and then the hadith mentions, فَتَلَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put the utensil into his hand. And who was this child? This child was Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And he's known amongst the Sahaba that he was extremely intelligent. So he knew there was no gustakhi, disrespect. Rasulullah wants something, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I not just... He understood, no. In terms of, in this matter now, the usul and principle is when it comes to deen, you don't give preference to anybody. You just go for it. You just go for it, because when you die, this is what's going to make your akhirah. So when it comes to deen, you don't give preference to anyone. So this is what Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is trying to portray with this hadith. And the next hadith, we'll just quickly go through it. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال بين أيوب عليه السلام يغتسل عريانا فخر عليه جراد من ذهب فجعل أيوب يحثي في ثوبه فناداه ربه عز وجل يا أيوب ألم أكن أغنيتك عما ترى قال بلى وعزتك ولكن لا غنى بي عن بركتك رواه البخاري سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه نريس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned that on one occasion when سيدنا أيوب عليه السلام he was bathing unrobed so when we understand that when a person is bathing and they're in privacy, there is no harm in being in an unclothed state. Although the scholars have mentioned that it is better to be clothed, it is better to be clothed or better to conceal as much as you can, but there is no harm in it. The jawaz and the permissibility we understand from this straight away. So as he was bathing, فَخَرَّ عَلَيْهِ جَرَادٌ مِّن ذَهَبٍ All of a sudden, these locusts made of gold started to rain down upon him, started to fall upon him. So they mentioned that this was after Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam's illness. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala tested him. There's different opinions how many years Allah Ta'ala tested him for. The minimum is 7 years. Allah Ta'ala tested him. He was just bedridden. He had so much, you know, he was so wealthy, he was so handsome, so good looking, he had so many children. Everybody left his side. Everything was perished and everything was lost. And Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam was in this state where only his wife was there to support him. People didn't come near him. And this test Allah Ta'ala kept him in for such a long period of time. And then Ayyub alayhi salam had patience, and Allah Ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieved him or removed him from his test. So Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam's story is one of the greatest stories of patience in the Quran mentioned. But patience, Allah Ta'ala gives you a test, Allah Ta'ala gives you with a time limit. Some people Allah Ta'ala tests with wealth, some people Allah Ta'ala tests without wealth. I give you wealth as a test. I take away wealth from you as a test. I give you knowledge as a test. I don't give you knowledge as a test. Allah Ta'ala tests us all in different ways. But every test that we go through, it comes with this time limit. And in that time, Allah Ta'ala is observing. So on the Day of Judgment, that test will come. You know, like you have your GCSEs and your SATs and your whatever, A-levels, A-level maths and A-level. So each test is marked. This is the test that you went through. Let's see how well you did in this one. Okay, let's open this one up. You went through this test as well in the dunya for 7 months. Let's see how well you did in that one. Okay, you went through this one for 1 hour, 2 hours, 1 day, 2 days, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 15 years. Let's see how well you did in the test. Let's see your scores now. A person will repeat, Ya Allah, in the dunya I was just sitting there pulling my head out, pulling my hair out. If I sat there and I realized that this was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can really make my Jannah just by having patience on this test. SubhanAllah, today my Jannah would be made. Look how much opportunity was there in this one test for me to get to the highest levels of Jannah. I didn't have to read lots of salah. I didn't even have to recite lots of tilawah of Quran, give lots of charity. All I needed to do was have patience. That's it. And this is it. And now 7 years of test are going through and there's nothing in there for me to get to my Jannah. Because it was all complaining and shikayat and moaning and sadness and depression. How am I going to get to Jannah with this? So Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam's test and story is a great lesson of patience. This is after he recovered. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed all, you know, physical defects, and his health was restored, and his financial state was restored. And the scholars mentioned this will happen. He was just bathing, all of a sudden these, like a rain, this word jarad has been used. Jarad means locust, tiddi. Tiddi kehte na? Locusts, they started to rain down. So obviously it wouldn't be a live locust, it was probably some form of something, but they were golden chunks, you can imagine. Allah ta'ala made rain down for him. So Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, فَجَعَلَ أَيُّوبُ يَحْذِي فِي ثَوْبِ. He started to gather it all into his clothes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, فَنَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ. Allah ta'ala called out to him, Ya Ayyub, O Ayyub, أَلَمْ أَكُنْ أَغْنَيْتُكَ عَمَّا تَرَى. Have I not made you independent from this? Meaning, I've given you so much. After Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam got better from his physical condition, he so much, you know, his children came back, he got so much land and wealth and so much riches. And this was a bonus. Right? This was a bonus that the golden locusts are falling down. But still Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam is not saying, you know, I don't need this. I've got so much wealth. And he's a Nabi of Allah. He doesn't have love of dunya in his heart. Love of dunya is a bad thing. Any Nabi of Allah will not have love of dunya in their heart. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, oh Ayyub, I've given you so much. Why are you, you know, taking all of this in? And Ayyub alayhi salam obviously knows golden locusts falling from the skies. Allah Ta'ala directly is giving me something. So Ayyub alayhi salam said, Bala wa izzatik. I swear by your honor, O Allah, you definitely have. You've given me so much that I don't need this to survive. You've given me so much. However, walakin la ghina bi an barakatik. However, from your barakah, O Allah, I can never be independent. When I know that you are giving to me, why would I not take? It's a sign of my servitude to you, O Allah, that what, you know, whatever the master throws at the servant, he grabs it. The fact that you've given me this, it's you giving me a special gift. Why would I sit there and say, no, I don't want it? You are my Rabb. You are my creator. I love you the most. Anything you give to me, O Allah, I'm going to take it like this. So subhanAllah, such an important lesson. It's not showing love of dunya. It's showing appreciation of Allah's ni'mah. Every single small thing that comes to me from Allah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mah. I'm going to take it and I'm going to do qadr of it and I'm going to appreciate it and I'm going to utilize it, because I know if I do that and utilize it properly, thanking Allah ta'ala at every stage, my Allah ta'ala will be happy. Say, I don't need this, I'm this, I'm that. You know, thinking that I am so special or wasting the blessings Allah ta'ala has given me, Allah ta'ala will be angry. I gave you so much. Not once do you remember, not once do you thank, not once do you utilize it in a correct way. So this is why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought it here, this hadith here. Again, to emphasize this point, Allah Ta'ala gives some kind of barakah. It is a way to draw more benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not leave that door, unopened. Never ever have the bar low. Always keep the bar very, very high. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look, if you're going to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ الْجَنَّةَ فَاسْأَلُوا الْفِرْدَوْسِ. If you're going to ask for Jannah, ask for Jannatul Firdaus. Because that's the greatest and best part of Jannah. Because nobody can force Allah Ta'ala. But Allah wants us to ask. Allah wants to see that our zeal, enthusiasm. I was listening to someone today, it was one of those motivational talk things. And he was saying that if the human being can create, construct an image in his mind, it means he can attain that image as well. So we're used to just constructing certain images and then thinking, unattainable. But when you can construct an image, you know what? I want Jannah. I want to be like the pious people that I read about. I want to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to stand up on the day of Qiyamah being from the close companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can do it inshallah. I just need to change my life around. I just need to change my routine. I just need to change my bad habits. And where there's a will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors. Inshallah, we all ready to practice upon this. Allah's like myself, all of us to fix. Subhanallah, bihamdulillah, subhanakallah.